Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Which WWE superstar missed Raw this week? Who were crowned new tag team champions this week? And who is the latest WWE Hall of Famer? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Bret the Hitman Hart gives Undertaker Triple H a 4 out of 10. So why did he give such high marks on this one?
I don't know why. It's kind of weird. In all seriousness, though, Bret Hart kind of got back into WWE's good graces recently. And this is a real big slap in the face. And Triple H is really high out there. And you know Bret and Triple H don't get along. You know that. But he has a point. But there's a better way to go about it. Don't get me wrong. That match was not good. It was not good. You didn't need to see it a third time. There's no need to see this Triple H Taker 3 at WrestleMania. It was a dumb match. It really was. It was definitely, I would say, 4 out of 10 as well. You know, it wasn't that good of a match. But you don't need to say it. You don't need to go out there and shoot yourself in the foot like that.
Here's my thing with this. He was truthful in the answer. He actually said, this is what I think of it, and that's it. And, you know, I haven't read the full interview yet, but from what I gather, this was just a small part of the interview that he gave. So
it was. He actually... The interview itself, he did say some bad things about Triple H.
But he also praised him, too.
He did. Yes, he did. So he gave both sides of the story, but you can be a little more political about it. You know, you could say, well, the match, I didn't think it was that good. You know, I didn't think that it was as good as, Taker or HBK. I thought that was a much better match.
Oh, yeah, there hands down. Yeah, I thought that was better. But I'm happy that he said it, because I think... So people were like, about time someone said something, one of those things. But so WWE is actually renting out arenas so TNA can't tour. Now, is this mean or is this just a good business move?
I think it's a good business move. However, I disagree with it. I think that it is a bad thing to do for the business of wrestling, because expanding another company to new markets can actually help out your business a little bit. I know it sounds kind of weird, but if you watch, let's say you happen to watch TNA and you see, oh, hey, there's Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle. They used to wrestle in WWF when I used to watch it. And then it's like, you know, I wonder what's going on there right now. You may happen to turn on WWE, you know, and see what's going on in their neck of the woods. So I actually think that it's I understand the business move, but I think that's actually a really dumb idea. Competition is going to make you better. It really is.
Competition brings the best out of both promotions. That's the big thing. Now, business move, yes, you know, we're agreeing on that. The weird part is, though, they also say that they don't consider them competition. Well, why rent out the arenas? Aren't they contradicting themselves?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. It's one of those weird things
that they consider them competition. You know, it's in the same vein whenever you hear somebody like Apple or Nintendo say that they're competitors, the people that they are competing against, Nintendo with Microsoft and Sony, Apple with Android. Well, we don't see them as competition. Oh, really? You don't see somebody who is in the exact same arena as you as competition. Really? That's something that you say. It's a PR stunt. You know, it's dumb. It really is. Andy, I want to ask you your thoughts on Bruno being the next WWE Hall of Famer.
I think this is a big deal. It's a long time coming. I mean, he was the longest. He's actually still currently the longest WWF champion, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's awesome. I mean, the fact that, you know, he held it the longest and he left the business because he didn't like what Vince was doing. And then he's done all the stuff. He came back. I saw an interview and he said a lot of things. He's like, you know, they do strict drug testing. They do. They have a neurosurgeon, I think, there as well. They go all out to make sure that the guys are, you know, if something happens, they're out. And it used to be that when you would wrestle 8 to 10 times a week, if you got hurt, you didn't get paid. So you wrestled. And see, now they protect the guys a lot more. And I, you know, there's guys like Daniel Bryan. You see CM Punk, guys that are just like, you know, like freaks of nature, basically. They're not getting, you know, concussions like it used to be. It used to be like some guy, if he took one bad bump, concussion, he's gone. Now they protect the guys, drug testing all the time. They, you know, if you get busted for steroids, you're gone for, you know, 30 days. And is it 30 days, 60 days, and then a year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Randy Orton will be gone by the end of the year. But
I should put that in my predictions.
Exactly. But I did. But the thing, him coming back, and he said a lot of positive things, but the rumor deal is that it's not just one time. He's going to be around now.
He's going to have a Legends contract.
And the best part is I just watched, I think it's UWF, and he was doing commentary. He was doing a commentary on it on ESPNU. Or no, ESPN Classic. I actually watched it. I didn't realize how thick his accent is.
Yeah. He is Italian born. And, you know, he immigrated here in the 40s, 50s, something like that. But the biggest thing about him being finally inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. So he was the second ever WWE champion, and he is the longest reigning record that will never be broken. Let's just be honest here.
Is it 4 years?
8 years.
8 years.
So seven years, 8 years. It's long because Hogan has the third longest at four.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan's reign was 4 years. That's the third longest. It goes Bruno, Backlund, and then Hogan.
And then Punk?
There's one other person in there than Punk. Punk is fifth longest.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Pedro Morales is the fourth one. But yeah, they're inducting Bruno and Bob Backlund in the same year. That is, I want to say like 16 years worth of WWE history right there. I bet if you go back 16 years, if we go back 16 years, that's 97. Do you know how many WWE champions we've had in 16 years?
A lot.
I don't know the number off the top of my head.
It'd be pushing 40.
No. It's not 40. But I would guess 30 because in 99, there were 12 title changes. Yeah, I know, right? Once a month. That's how bad it was. Yeah, in 98 or 99. I don't remember which year.
Where's my almanac? Come on, PWI, send us a couple free ones.
Yeah, there was a title change every month. It was 12 title changes, so it was, you know, on average one a month.
Oh, my gosh.
So Bruno held the title for 7-8 years, you know. Yeah, it is an accomplishment. You know, he was a draw at the box office. And the same way Hogan was and the same way Backlund was, he was a very, very big deal. And this, the WWE Hall of Fame, there's some legitimate stuff in there and there's some not legitimate stuff. This helps make it more legitimate. So kudos to WWE and kudos to Triple H for getting the deal done.
You got to give Trips some credit on this because he's been pushing it for a while and he's shown how the WWE has changed and how it's gonna stay changed. So anyways, let's move on to WWE program this week. So we forgot to talk about it, but Cody and Sandow finally split up. So Rhodes Scholars, they did all the money for those graphics and now they're no more.
Well, they have all these great tag teams there, Andy, like Team Hell No. And and so, you know, they have all these great tag teams there. And so they don't need to have these extra ones like the Rhodes Scholars. So good job. Good job splitting them up.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't have anything else to say. I could care less. So Brock does attack Miz. Miz, you know, a kind of good face, and Brock beats the crap out of him. I mean,
this is a weird segment, yeah, though, I thought, because Brock came out and basically defended Paul Heyman's honor. And for doing that, he's the bad guy, which is kind of weird. Like, Miz was taunting him, and then he pushes Brock. Brock beats the crap out of him. And I don't know. I just thought it was a very weird segment. But what did you think of the dynamic, though, between Brock and Miz?
You know, Miz can work with anybody, and I think he could put, you know, Brock over. I was actually kind of disappointed with the segment because I really want some Jimmy John's afterwards, and they don't have any where I live. So where I work, though, they do, but they don't have them in the town, so I was kind of disappointed.
I would like to point out something real quick. Since Brock Lesnar's been back, I have ordered Jimmy John's 3 times.
Seriously?
He's been back for 1 week. I've ordered Jimmy John's 3 times.
I don't even know who the other sponsors are.
I just want to point that out, though. I have ordered them 3 times. I had it yesterday. I forgot to bring food to work, so I went ahead and picked up a Country Club. It's only $5.99.
Are you serious?
In case you want to know.
Are you dead serious on this?
And they pile on the meats and the cheeses. Oh, I'm being serious. I'm being dead serious.
You're being dead serious. You actually have had Jimmy John's. Oh, my gosh.
I swear to God, I've ordered Jimmy John's 3 times.
I can't believe
since
you.
He's come back. Anyway, Andy, Rock was absent from Raw this week. What are your thoughts on him being gone?
This is my point. Champion is on TV every week. He is on. He doesn't get a pass. I mean, that's what ticks me off about this. I mean, you give him the strap and then he skips the following week. And then Punk, by the way, Punk said it. I didn't realize until I rewatched Raw again. Punk said it. He said, "Are you going to be at the house shows that I'm going to be at?" and pointed that out. Now, I'm wondering if he's getting free reign on his creative control right now, because that's something that's breaking, you know, the fourth wall or whatever. And I thought that was really weird that he actually was able to say that, because he pointed out, listen, I'm going to house shows. What are you doing? Oh, you're just coming here or whatever. And that's it.
I'm surprised he didn't go deeper into it, to be honest. I thought that he would really rip Rock apart in the same way. I liked last year when Cena had the thing, the shirt, it says, "I bring it via satellite." I thought, oh, my God, that is awesome. You know, I'm not the biggest Cena fan, but you know, you always have to give the devil his due. And that was perfect because Rock showed up for, you know, 4 dates, you know, and then the rest were via satellite or via something else. I don't know why they didn't have a really good tape segment with him where, you know, he's in the back trying to get in and they won't let him in or something stupid like that. Like something to make it seem like, you know, he would have been there and he wasn't. And I don't know. I just didn't see that. I really wish that was there.
By the way, I want to point out something that Rock gave praise to, and Triple H has been praising this guy. Joe Henning, Michael McGillicuddy, as people know, he's been praising because he worked out with them the entire time. So it's pretty impressive. A third generation superstar is basically working out with another third generation superstar. I thought it was really neat that they both praised him, both Triple H and The Rock. So I got to give him some credit, you know, on that.
Well, then you know what they should do? They should change his name to be Joe Henning, since he's he's Kurt Henning's son. Call him Almost Perfect. Call him Mr. Perfect Jr. Do something. Mike McGillicuddy? How the hell do you come up with that name?
Because they want to own the name. That's why. And that's what the crappy part is. You know what the thing is? If he came out as Mr. Perfect, I think it might tick a couple people off. But I think there will be some people behind the scenes saying that he's continuing the character that his dad, you know, that his dad unfortunately passed away.
Yeah, he's going to continue that legacy. Let him do that.
And then you can always go back and be like, look at Mr. Perfect. You know, there's things that can be done with that, but whatevs.
So, Andy, Mark Henry made a surprise return. What did you think of that?
I'm happy with these surprise returns. I mean, if you do it right, look at Jericho. He's working until WrestleMania. That's it. Then he's done. Mark Henry came back. Surprised me. I was shocked. I was really shocked about it. It was nice to see him back. It's just one of those things, like, if a superstar is gone for so long, like, he's been gone for probably 6 months, I would guess. And
it's been a while.
All of a sudden he comes back, and you're just like, oh, you know, that's interesting. You know, you can have another feud with him. And this is the other thing we talk about a lot. It's like, you give guys time off. He's been off. Yes, he got injured. Okay. But he comes back and he's fresh again. It's like Jericho. He's fresh. He's there. He's going to be there for 3 months, go on tour with his band, and probably get another tattoo. It's nice.
Crappy tattoo.
Yeah, crappy tattoo. It's refreshing. That's the thing. It's like seeing Prince Albert or what is it? Lord Tensai.
A-Train.
A-Train. Whatever they're going to call him this week. It's nice to see him come back and also change his character. But it'd be almost nice to see, and Jack Swagger. That's the Jack Swagger is one of the better examples too, because he's been gone. There's nothing the matter with him. He was just off.
It's kind of like your wife, you know, like you, when you don't see her for a little while, you kind of miss her a little bit. But then when you see her, it's like, oh, babe, I'm so happy to see you because it's been a little while.
Now lock the kid in your room so you guys can be. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so it's refreshing to see him back. It's really refreshing. Yeah. The other thing also, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, Rey Mysterio, and Mark Henry are confirmed for Elimination Chamber. What's going on with this?
So it's, you know, for the number one contendership. Last week we were talking about it where they said, oh, these people are going to be in the Elimination Chamber. But then they said, oh, but you got to earn your spot. So they're not in the Elimination Chamber. That segment last week made zero sense. It made no sense. They said these six people are going to be in the Elimination Chamber if you earn your spot. Well, then who's going to be in instead of them? Like what? Like, so are you going to have a match where it's, you know, for example, Mark Henry took on Randy Orton this week. Randy Orton already got his spot in the Elimination Chamber. So Mark Henry's taking him on. If Randy Orton wins, he doesn't get in there again. It was dumb. Instead, you have Randy Orton versus Mark Henry. The winner makes his way in. Whatever booking they're doing is making no sense. And a wrestling fan who's paying attention to this stuff, not a Mark, but just someone who's paying any attention and is above the age of 12 is going to say, what's going on? You're not making any sense whatsoever.
Oh, you mean like the IC tournament that was announced on Raw, then they canceled the following day?
Yeah,
exactly. See, this is one thing that I've learned is that flowcharts are a person's key. You basically have a flowchart for each person and you can connect them. There's a great program. I'm using it. Adobe Air. I'm going to promote them, I guess. That's what they need to do. They need to actually have a big, big flow chart of what's going on. They don't. They're like, what do we do this week? Okay, we'll do this. They're panicking. I think that's why Ziggler, by the way, Ziggler was left off Raw, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, why was he left off Raw? Because they didn't have anything for him. So creative has nothing for him. Plug Colt Cabana. I don't get it still. Why would you have the Money in the Bank briefcase winner? It doesn't even go on Raw. Come on. Who's doing this crap? Oh, Stephanie is. That's right.
Well, this is the problem when you have so much programming and the problem when the creative is like scrambling to have a cohesive storyline for each character. And that's why I said it before. I'll say it again. You need to cut back on how much you're doing because you're going to muddy the water and you're going to make the product not as good as it could be. With that said, Andy, they do have one thing that's been going on for a little while that I actually am in favor of. So Cena, Sheamus, and Ryback are going to take on the Shield at Elimination Chamber. It's going to be a 3-on-3 elimination style match. I'm actually kind of excited for this. Storyline wise, it makes sense that that Cena and them will get their revenge finally on the Shield. You know, they had a pretty good segment to end Raw this week where they got their revenge. And now the 3-on-3 match, they'll get more revenge on them. Smart booking in that aspect. It seems like they had a long-term plan there, you think, you know. So good job. Kudos to them.
Yeah, and also by them doing it, it's great because you're going to actually see, you know, I keep wanting to call him Tyler Black, but Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, they're, you know, we're going to throw Roman out of the thing because he's not that great of a wrestler. But the other two guys are great wrestlers. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, Ryback's is on Roman's thing. Not the greatest wrestlers. But then you have four guys that are. So you have Sheamus and Cena who are going to work really well together with Dean and, I want to call him Tyler. Gosh darn it, it's Seth Rollins. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. The other thing also, speaking of WWE programming, I just wish they would actually have NXT through their site. I don't know why they don't do it. It's only in Canada and other places, but it's not in the United States, which is sad because I have to download it every time. But anyways, let's move on to our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installed for the free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo and see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. What are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at your web hosting costs. And also make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark section. You're going to see a banner for WWE Shop. They're putting out tons of deals, championship belts, Cena gear. Yeah, Cena gear. They're putting that, all that stuff's getting clearance. You got to check it out. Tons of deals. Make sure you click on that banner. There's going to be a coupon code. Enter that in, and you're going to save some money at WWEShop.com. And check out HighSpots.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So Austin Aries and Bobby Roode are your new tag team champions. Is this kind of impressive that they let them, you know, belts change hands overseas?
Well, is it impressive that they did it after 2 weeks of them arguing with each other? I mean, honestly, you know, two weeks of a feud, you know, and they win the belts. You don't want to. OK, there's a formula. You don't always want to follow the formula, because if you do, it gets tired and old, you know, like, oh, they're going to wrestle for a month and then they win the titles, you know, or wrestle, you know, 2 months than they do. And so doing it quicker is like, whoa. But this is also, Austin Aries and Robert Roode are not an accomplished tag team. You know, they are two former world champions, so that's impressive. But it's not like Jeff and Matt Hardy. If it was Jeff and Matt Hardy, okay. Yeah, I can believe that. They're very accomplished tag team wrestlers. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. It's a wait and see. Like, we'll see if they're good down the road. I like Aries and Roode together, though. I like the dynamic that they have.
Yeah, and that's the great part, because some guys don't work well together, and these guys work really good together. And I'm really excited to see, you know, like what they're going to, you know, where do they go from here? That's something that I'm waiting to see. So RVD and Kid Cash and Zema Ion had a great match. And of course, Kid Cash is no longer with the company.
Yeah. Then you meant Kenny King.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry.
Kenny King.
I was thinking Kid Cash, and it's actually...
It's adult Cash now, remember? He graduated.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, so anyway, but they had a really great match. This, I think, really showcased the X Division and what they offer. You know, RVD winning, that's fine. Zema and Kenny had a pretty good chemistry in the ring. I think it's about time, though, that RVD drops the belt. You know, I don't think he needs the X Division. He should be in a different league right now. And I think the X Division, he's not putting a mark on there. He's not putting it on the map. It's already been there. It's always been there. You need to move him out of that. It's like Undertaker with the hardcore title, you know?
Yeah, I remember that. I'm going to call something also out with RVD, because they're not doing anything with him. I bet that he goes one more run with the WWE. It's going to be for like 6 months to a year, and then he's done wrestling. Because he can make a ton of money if he works for the WWE. I mean, like, Triple H off his merchandise made over $2 million last year. $2 million. That means people put $2 million into his product. Okay. If you have RVD, he may get a quarter of that. And then he also gets his regular pay. He could potentially make $1 million in a year. Why not? I bet he leaves because they're not doing anything with him. He's just there.
Well, RVD for the past 5 years has been really phoning it in. I like RVD. I do. And you know, he is definitely, when I think ECW, he's probably the person that really embodies it the most. I would say, you know, him, Sabu, Taz, Tommy Dreamer, you know, those are the types of guys that kind of jumped to my mind, a bunch of others too. But he has been phoning it in. He does the same spots over and over again, and it's nothing that I find super, super special. And I think that's the thing that I feel is kind of missing, is I think he's lost a passion for it. And don't get me wrong, the match he had tonight, you know, this past Thursday was really good, but you need to do a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. So Bully, and that's Bully Ray to be exact, and Sting, who is on his second farewell tour in the UK, they beat Aces and Eights. But something interesting happened before the match. They took out Hulk Hogan.
Storyline wise, he was supposed to come down and wrestle with them. Hogan is not cleared to wrestle. Hogan is in no shape to wrestle.
He shouldn't be flying, actually.
Yeah, he is not in any shape to wrestle. So so obviously kayfabe, you know, this stuff happened. You know, he got attacked before the match and couldn't make it down there. What do you think of the Aces and Eights storyline going this far?
Where do you go from here? That's the thing. Or I wonder what's next. That's the thing. I mean, no matter how I look at it, it's like, what's going to be the end game of this? Because all it is, it's just a ripoff of the NWO or D-Generation X or, you know, name a promotion that has another, you know, stable that they are the outsiders. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, at some point, you just got to call it. And what, you know, the end game, you know, they reveal that Garrett and what's his face? And it doesn't matter. Briscoe, that they were part of Aces and Eights. OK. Now what? Mm-hmm. I mean, what is the final end game? I mean, look at what happened with Fortune. No longer around. Who are the old people? They're gone. And what are you gonna do with Aces and Eights now? That's the thing. What are you going to do with them? At some point, everyone's going to get a mask, and then you're going to have someone be the leader, and it's going to be someone that you'll never guess, Jeff Jarrett. And it's just one of those things. What's the end game? Jeff Jarrett comes back. Okay, he grabs a guitar. They throw some body powder in there, and he hits him over the head with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that they need to get to an end quickly. Because I'm getting a little annoyed with it, and I'm getting bored with it too. So I think that they need to do something. Now, Andy, to move on to our weekly topic, I have a top five that I actually I kind of like, and I'm gonna do top five things TNA can do to get better.
Okay. All right. Okay. Usually I don't care for your top fives, but I want to hear it.
So you know. First things first, keep doing what you're doing. So keep the path that they're going down. And while we're criticizing some of the stuff, they are doing some stuff really well. So keep doing what you're doing. Okay. If they keep going down this path, you do these five extra things, and I think that you're going to have a very successful promotion. Number five, have a filter to push your storylines through. So the person who's doing the storylines, he says, I got this great storyline. Here's what we're going to do. And then you have somebody who says, okay, that sounds interesting. Tell me more about it, though. Tell me what the end game is. What's the end result? How is this going to help somebody out? How is this going to hurt this other person? Someone with a filter.
Basically, someone who it's almost like a movie, how there's three acts in every movie. You have someone, you have the beginning, the middle, and the end result. And mm-hmm. The thing is, that's why Vince Russo was so good back in the day, because Vince would be like, oh, geez, here's another idea. But he did take some of those ideas, but when Vince went to WCW, he failed.
Yeah, because he didn't have a filter.
Exactly.
Number four, make a real second-tier title. I'm not talking about this TV title bull crap, all right? You need to have your world title, you need to have your second title, and then, you know, I know they have the X Division, so you have your third title. So you have your three-tier titles. You need to do that. Because right now, that second-tier title is a joke. I don't know if it's actually a good title or if it's a crappy title. I can't tell. I have no idea. You have nothing to base it off of.
What's the second tier title? The TV title?
The TV title is technically the second tier, right?
Yeah, they need to do something about it. Realistically, there should be their knockout champion that get rid of the tag thing on that. Your tag champion, your world champion, TV, and basically the next big thing title. Your IC or yeah. US title. So you have five titles in a promotion like that, nothing else. There should be no more titles, no knockout tag team thing. By the way, what was the last time that was defended? Who knows?
It was about a year ago.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Get rid of it. And by the way, it's a guy and a girl that have that title. And why don't they throw in the 60-day clause or 30-day clause? If they don't defend it, they lose the strap. Why don't they just do that and retire those belts and then bring another one in?
Number three, bring back former TNA talent. So, for example, Low Key, Amazing Red, Motor City Machine Guns. I'm not saying bring them back for a full term, but have a six-month storyline plan. So, for example, say, hey, Low Key, we got a six-month storyline plan for you in the X Division. And so you're going to come here, you'll do this, you might win the title, hold it for 4 months, drop it, and then you'll be gone, and you can go and work at Ring of Honor, or do indie promotions, whatever you want. That's my number three suggestion. what can help make them better. Number two, bring in top-tier WWE talent. Example I gave was like CM Punk, which they're not going to get, but somebody else that other people that they could get, someone like Rey Mysterio or Randy Orton. I think that those are two people that you may look at that and go, whoa, there's no way. Rey Mysterio working less dates, having to work three times a month. I think Rey would be pretty happy with that, you know, and that's something that would help make his wrestling post years a little bit better. Randy Orton, probably a similar thing. He'd be pretty happy with that. And to have him wrestle James Storm or Robert Roode or Austin Aries, that would be pretty damn cool to see. I would love to see that. I really would.
I think Randy Orton will never go to TNA.
I think that you might be surprised, but I'm not holding my breath.
Okay.
I'm not holding my breath. And then the number one thing that TNA can do to help do better, create new superstars and promote the crap out of them.
All right. I do agree with that. You can have little vignettes. I mean, remember Fandango or what is it called? Fandango or it doesn't matter.
So,
but you have promote. Yeah. You promote the crap out of them. You have, you know, you spend money on that character. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that doing that, creating someone who is that household name, you know, that John Cena. John Cena was a creation of the WWE, plain and simple. That's somebody that, that WWE said, you know what, this is somebody we're going to build the whole brand around. And they did. John Cena is the brand of the WWE. And so TNA needs to do the same thing. They need to find somebody that they can build the whole company around. And I think that that's something that they, you know, if you start doing that, they've done a really good job thus far. Austin Aries, Robert Roode, James Storm. Those are three great examples right there. Obviously, they brought in some older talent, Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, to help legitimize it a little bit more. But they need to do a little bit better job of building up some of their other people.
Yeah. Okay. I actually agree with you, dude. I mean, there's that's something that they need. They need someone who's not, who is a wrestling promoter. I don't think Dixie Carter is. I don't think she ever will be. She is just like, oh, I'm going to say, you know, be nice to the fans and everything. Thanks for coming. In a way, you almost have to be mean to them to a certain extent. And like, make, you know, let them know that, you know, I care about this. Oh, you know, almost be a heel. I think the heel owner is the best thing to do. Because the face, I mean, look at when Vince was face. It still wasn't the greatest, but when he was heel, oh, he was so perfect. And I think that's the problem with Dixie. But anyways, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show to OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all the listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.